Every civilization has always believed that it was in the end times, hasn't it?
It certainly has. And if we go right back to the time when the book of Revelation was written, you know, the biblical book of Revelation, in which the end of all things was prophesied over and over again, one of the interesting sort of sociological, historical backgrounds to that book was that the early church, among whom were the writers of the book of Revelation, were living in very, very cruel and difficult times. In fact, there are experts in Roman history and numerology who take the number 666, which in Revelation is supposed to be the mark of the beast, as a code word for Nero Caesar. Because if you and I had been members of that early church, you can't be wandering around with a book in your pocket or a scroll that says Nero Caesar is the bad guy.
Oh, no. We'd be beheaded.
You'd be gone very quickly. So you have to code him under maybe a numerical code or some other way. But there are Bible experts who believe that the whole of it was written prophesying the end of the world. Not necessarily the end of the world and rapture and, the end of everything, but the end of the Roman Empire and the end of the cruelty of Nero Caesar. Now, that's just one theory, but when people are under pressure, and following on from your very wise comment about every religion, nearly every group of people throughout history and all around the world have prophecies of doomsday, of the end of everything, and usually very spectacular ones. And the theory may be that when people are undergoing particular difficulties, when, like the early church 2,000 years ago, they're being persecuted by an evil, insane emperor, in Nero's case, then they forecast the end of it all. I have heard it referred to as a tract for hard times, that you keep yourself cheerful and you keep going by saying, somebody's going to get him.
So true. What's the mood of the world these days, Lionel? You got your thumb on the pulse. What are people feeling?
Well, I like that. I take that as another great compliment. I'm very interested in people. Maybe it's with being a priest and I'm, as I said, an independent Anglican priest, and I meet people with funerals, I meet people when they're at their lowest. I also conduct weddings, so I see people when they're at their highest and their happiest, and I do try to keep my thumb on the pulse of life. Because I'm a priest, I care so much about people I try to help. And when you're caring about people, and when you're trying to take back an impression from them of what they're feeling, how they're thinking, one of the great things underlying so many of the people I meet is a financial anxiety. People are being very, very careful with money.
Yes.
They're not buying the new fridge. They're not buying the new car. They're not investing in the expensive holiday overseas. So there is a state of financial defensiveness. And of course, as dear old John Maynard Keynes used to say, and as your President Roosevelt said when the New Deal came out, you know, after the Great Depression in the 30s, that you've got to invest. So I feel that so many of us are instinctively cautious about money, when what we should be doing, if we're going to get the debts paid off, is what is apparently contradictory. We should be investing and spending and getting the big machine, the big consumer machine, turning again. Hanging on to your savings only makes them shrink. Basically, you know, if we can get out there and start living life, I think that would do us more good. But people are afraid to at the moment. That's the first thing. The second thing, there's a lot of anxiety since those tragic disasters in Japan, which affected that nuclear processor. There is a big question mark over what we in the UK and what we might recommend to our friends worldwide about the nuclear industry. So there's this huge question mark about, you know, the global warming problem and cutting down on the carbon, and at the same time using the big windmills and the dams and the hydroelectric power and the solar panels. So the first question mark, and I think this really sums it all up, people have got question marks in their minds. We're not sure about what to do to put the money right. We're not sure what to do to put the power right, whether we should be going into wind and solar and water rather than bringing in any more nuclear. So those are two huge areas of questions. And the third thing is, as a great many people leave the organized, authorized, you know, traditional churches, they're looking for something, if I say spiritual, it's in inverted commas, they're looking for meaning. So I would say the way my thumb tells me about the pulse of life, it's money questions, power questions, and the questions of meaning. Why are we here? Where are we going? What are we doing? How can we get the most out of this life that God has given us?